On today's episode of the podcast, I finally get to share with all of you the story of this baby. Yes, it's true. I'm pregnant. We are having a baby. I couldn't be happier. And I'm so excited I get to share the story from conception to where we are now. Thank you so much for listening. And thank you for wishing us so much joy. It really means a lot. Did you know that women were excluded from clinical research policy by federal law until 1993? Women belong in scientific research. They are essential. But not only that, how can we trust any of the data when it comes to our bodies if nothing used to exist? Ritual took this gap and conducted a university-led human clinical trial for their Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin to assess its efficacy. The results? It increased vitamin D levels by 43% and omega-3 DHA levels by 41% in just 12 weeks. That's some data we can trust. Ritual is a clinically backed multivitamin for women 18 plus with high quality and traceable key ingredients in clean, bioavailable forms. It is USP verified, meaning you can trust what you're putting in your body and know that it actually works. And only about 1% of supplement brands on the market have the USP verified mark. Not only does Ritual take your health seriously, they are also invested in the health of the planet. Ritual is a female-founded B Corp. They use scientific tools to select lower carbon packaging, prioritize sustainably sourced ingredients, and set ambitious climate goals. I have been through the ringer when it comes to vitamins, and that's why I love Ritual, because I can actually trust that it does what it's supposed to do, and it comes from a company that actually cares. No more shady business. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus is a multivitamin you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month at ritual.com/yogagirl. Start Ritual or add Essential for Women 18 Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/yogagirl for 25% off. Hello, my darling friends. Welcome back to the show. It's time for a brand new and very fun and exciting episode of the Yoga Girl podcast, Conversations from the Heart. I'm back in Sweden. Last week's episode I recorded in Aruba. We came back to Sweden 2 days ago, just Leia and I. Dennis is staying another week. And I'm looking out at my regular little lake view here where I sit and record the podcast from home in Sweden. There's a little bit of snow. I think there was so much snow when we were away. There was really like a crazy snowstorm that hit and there was so much snow. And some of that is still lingering, which Leia is very happy about, but it's not like a snowy landscape. I just have a little bit of snow on our patio in the back. But I'm looking out at the pine trees and the spruce trees in front of me. The lake is still and quiet and beautiful, and it's cold. And I'm sitting here feeling so excited. And I'm so excited I have to laugh, like I'm smiling so big right now, knowing that I finally, after so long of keeping my mouth shut, so long, so much time, sitting down to record this podcast every week, not being able to talk about the one thing that I actually really want to talk about, which is the fact that, yes, I am pregnant. Yay! I'm pregnant. I am with child. I have a bun in the oven. We're having a baby. Yeah, we're having a baby. And it's been very hard to keep this secret from you. Seeing that I sit down every week and I record this podcast and I tell you my innermost feelings. I tell you all my thoughts and all my big emotions and all the stuff going on in my life. And then this major thing happened and we decided to keep it to ourselves. We really did. I had this idea that, you know, when we have a second baby or when, you know, I get pregnant again, I would probably tell the world right away. This old idea that you're supposed to keep it to yourself because what if you miscarry and that would be embarrassing, or, you know, there's such a stigma around that, and then it would be just awful having to tell everybody. And I, you know, don't feel that way at all. So if, you know, if that would have happened, I would have, of course, shared that the way I share all the challenging things in life. And I think it's important that we talk about that. So Dennis and I even had that conversation when Leia was a couple years old. Like, okay, well, when we have our next one, I think we should just tell everybody right away. Like, we don't do the waiting thing, because it was really hard the first time around too. Like, it was hard to wait, hard to keep it to ourselves. And part of it is I'm just such an open book. Like, it's very hard for me to keep secrets, in case you had noticed. But then this pregnancy happened. And although I really wanted to share, and I've really been yearning for this to be out there, and for, you know, for me to get to record this episode and to talk about this baby, I also immediately was overwhelmed by this longing to keep everything to ourselves, to just have this be this very private, quiet thing, even for a while. And I got over that, thank God. I was like, maybe we won't tell anyone about the baby until the baby's here. Pull one of those. And then it's just like, that's going to be very challenging. Like, there's no way you're going to be able to pull that off. But I so enjoyed just having this be just for us for this long. Yeah. And then I don't know really. I think what happened was the thing that made me want to share. It's not like finally I'm sharing. I'm not sharing later than normal. I think I'm sharing right at the normal, regular time when people normally share that they're pregnant. I'm 13 weeks now. I think when I was pregnant with Leia, I have to go back in my Instagram and check, but I think I did the internet announcement at 13 weeks. So just the same. But it just felt like a really long time, because I could have sort of told the world much sooner, I guess. And I've been itching to share this baby with the world, but it's also been such a lovely private time. Just us and the family kind of keeping this little secret. If you don't count the fact that we have a 5-year-old who we told very early. We told her, I think, week 7 or 8. Like, we told her, yeah, as soon as we could, basically. If you think it's hard to keep the secret from you, imagine how hard it was to keep the secret from her. Especially since Leia has wanted a little brother. She's wanted a little sibling, but she's always talked about a little brother. Like, she knows a little brother is coming. She still thinks this is a brother. She's certain. We don't know the sex of the baby, but we're kind of referring to him as a little baby boy, just because that's how she refers to him, right? She's very, very convinced it's a baby boy. And she's been wanting a sibling for a long time, but especially this past year, since we moved to Sweden, something shifted in her. And it became very vivid, the longing for a little brother, to the point of her making toys for him. She's made these little arts and crafts things for him. She came home from school one day and started rearranging all the furniture in her room, like moving her desk and her chairs out of the way. And I was like, what are you doing? And she said, I'm making space for my baby brother. He's going to sleep here. Like, this is where, and this is funny, this is where the baby cage is going to go. The crib, she calls it, the baby cage. And we were not in that place, like, talking about having a baby. Like, you know, it was just, she just really had this idea and felt so vividly like this baby brother is coming. So it's really hard to know. Like, I have a feeling that subconsciously has influenced us, just her so openly longing for a brother. But we weren't at that time actively at all talking about it, or even, yeah, we always had this idea that at some point, you know, it's like I never thought that Leia would just, like, I would never go through the journey of pregnancy again. Like, that felt strange. But at the same time, we never had a timing that felt like, oh, this actually works. You know, like, this is a good time. So we told her as soon as we could, because imagine, like, we knew we were pregnant, and then every day she's talking about her baby brother, and she's so excited about her baby brother, but she doesn't actually know that there is a baby coming, even though it is. And I felt so awful lying to her, you know. So we decided, like, okay, we're gonna talk to her about miscarriage in a sensible way, you know, in a way that makes sense to a 5-year-old, so that that's not something that's strange or odd, or that she's never heard of. The way we talk about death, we talk about, you know, her aunt is battling a really, really severe form of cancer right now. We talk about that all the time. Her uncle just lost his dog. We talk about hard things in this family. And so we made that decision that, okay, we'll have the whole conversation, and, you know, we'll let her know that she's having a baby brother. And since the moment we told her, Like, I couldn't even say, and this is a secret, don't tell anyone. I mean, impossible. Like, you can't tell a five-year-old to keep a secret. Are you kidding? No, especially not the biggest, most exciting thing that's ever happened to her in her entire life. It was just too much to ask for her to keep that secret. So we were just strategic about not seeing any family before we were ready to tell our family, because every single person, I'm not exaggerating, every single human being that she has met in the past, I guess, 6 weeks, 5 or 6 weeks, she has led that conversation with, my mommy has a baby in her belly. Like, every stranger she's seen, she's literally chased down strangers in the street to yell at them, my mama is pregnant. She's told every grocery store clerk that we've met, every cab driver, like every waitress or waiter at any restaurant we've been to. They're like, hi, can I take your order? My mama has a baby in her belly. They're like, oh, congratulations. We even had people who follow me online. I mean, and this happens often, like at least a couple times a week here, whenever we're out and about, someone comes up and they're like, hey, oh, I thought that was you. You know, I listened to your podcast, or I just want to say hi. And Leia looks at them and she's like, guess what? Guess what? My mom is pregnant. And then those people are like, you know, it's a big thing to be the first one to find out about, you know, to find out about such a big thing. So it's been really fun. Like, it's been really, really funny to go through this journey with her. So before we told any of our family, anybody, we told our parents or best friends or siblings, the day after we told her, we got to preschool, she got out of the car and she ran from the car to the schoolyard yelling off the top of her lungs, mama has a baby in her belly, mama has a baby in her belly. Like, yelling all the way in. So the whole school, all her teachers knew, all the strangers we've met, every acquaintance, our neighbor knew, our neighbors knew because she hangs out with her kids a lot. Everybody knew before, like, our parents knew. Or our best friends knew, because she's told everyone. So it's been, I guess that's also been part of why it didn't feel super necessary to tell the whole world, because she's kind of doing it for us. And at some point, Dennis was like, you know, like, this is going to get out. Like, someone's going to come up to you telling you congratulations that you were not ready to tell yet, because this is going to make the rounds, because she's telling. I think she must have told hundreds of people. On this Aruba trip also, every person on the plane, she went like row by row on the plane to let everybody know that there is a baby on board. And some people are really excited to talk to strange, quirky kids. Some people are like, oh, but that's nice. And then they like turn around and move on. They're not interested. But most people have been so happy to talk to her and are asking her questions. And are you excited? You're going to be a big sister. What's that like? Like, she really has had this big journey around this pregnancy so far. And it's been the most beautiful part of all of this. It's been so totally lovely. Want to know one of my favorite sounds? Here it is. That's the sound I hear when I'm learning a new language with Babbel. And if you want to learn a new language, I guarantee it'll be one of your new favorite sounds too. Be a better you with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Their tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching, so you're ready to practice what you have learned in the real world. I absolutely love using Babbel. Their convenient courses have helped both me and my husband learn real-life conversation skills in a different language. He's learning Swedish, of course, and I've been trying my hand at French again. It is so easy to learn how to order food, how to ask for directions, speak to merchants, and all without having to consult language apps while on vacation, or in my husband's case, living here in Sweden with me. Studies from Yale, Michigan State University, and others continue to prove Babbel is better. One study found that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to a full semester at college. Babbel has over 16 million subscriptions sold. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 award-winning language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. here's a special limited time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off of your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/yoga. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/yoga, spelled BABBEL.com/yoga. Rules and restrictions may apply. Okay, so maybe I should tell the whole story from the start. And to do that, and this is kind of funny, to do that, I actually have to tell you a really big second secret that I've been carrying. Second surprise, like a big piece of news that I have. Because these two stories really are intertwined. One probably wouldn't have happened without the other. So I'm sure some of you, maybe many of you, remember a couple of months ago, I was sitting here on the podcast, really excited about something big that had happened in our lives. And I was about to give you this big piece of news, like, oh my God, can't wait to share this big thing happening. And then I kind of caught myself in the moment and I was like, wait, maybe I shouldn't share this yet. Maybe I need to talk to Dennis about the timing of us sharing this because I hadn't talked to him yet. So I kind of caught myself, like I made a little fumble and I was like, you know what? I'll tell you that secret later. Like I'll tell you this news later. So mean, like such a shitty thing for a podcast host to do. But so I kind of teased that we had this secret and it wasn't the baby. It wasn't the baby at all. I don't think we were even, yeah, we were pregnant then, but it wasn't that. That wasn't the news. So since I shared that episode, like once a week, people are writing me like, okay, when are you telling us that big news? Like, was this the big news? When I said I wasn't vegan anymore, they're like, was this the news? I was like, no, that's not it. But so the news is, the second news, aside from the fact that we're having a baby and which feels like the biggest thing ever, the second piece of news is that we found the farm of our dreams. Like we have found the property of our dreams and we're moving. We got a farm. This sounds so surreal to even say. It's very bizarre to record this episode in this way. Like I feel almost tentative to share. It feels like too much good news. Like I have to rein the good news in a little bit. Like I'm almost nervous to speak all of this out loud. Feels a little bit almost too good to be true, which it's not. It's perfect and it's absolutely true. And I'm just, yeah, really, really, really excited. So the story about this farm, it's also a big story. It's going to have to probably be another podcast. But these stories, the farm and the baby, they're definitely intertwined. So I'll give you like a little, the short version, which is that about a year and a half ago, when I was visiting Sweden, before we had moved here, we were just visiting in the summer in 2021, I found this piece of land, this property that I fell head over heels in love with. And a little farm, it's a, I don't even know if you can call it a farm because it has like a couple of barns and it has some land, but it's small. Like it's just, it's basically a homestead, like a tiny little farm. And I fell so in love with the space, but it wasn't for sale. And it's a really complicated story. And I went on Instagram. I went back in my Instagram to check, like, I think it was July or August last year. And I posted a little video from this property where I just show some trees and some greenery and the lake. And I wrote a caption about, I'm looking for land. Like I'm yearning for my land, my piece of land to tend to set my roots, you know, to really return home to the earth in this major way. And that's the same property. Like that's where we're moving. That's the property that actually ended up materializing for us, which is so wild and crazy. And it's been just a lot of back and forth, and it felt really far away. Maybe it's never going to happen. But then in the summer, earlier in the summer, it started materializing a little bit. It started becoming more real. And when we found out that actually the woman who owned it, she did want to sell, and she did want to sell to us. It was still a very long journey to get to the signing the papers, which we did today, this morning. We were at the realtors this morning. And when that started happening, so in the summer, it started becoming, yeah, less of a dream and more of reality. Dennis and I started talking about, well, maybe having a second baby isn't so crazy. All of a sudden, the idea of having long-term stability again, something that felt really permanent, like a real dream come true, that becoming maybe sort of real in the future, led us to having those conversations again about, and then, you know, Leia was talking about a sibling all the time, which of course influenced us as well. So we started not actively trying the way, I mean, I have friends actively trying to have a baby, tracking their ovulation and timing and temperature and on the specific, you know, this hour of this day is the, you know, not like that at all. We just started becoming very, very casual. Let's just use those words. Very casual in our romantic life with the thought of, I didn't even know, like maybe getting pregnant with Leia so easily the first time, maybe that was just a fluke. Like maybe it's not going to be that easy the second time. I have no idea. I mean, we have friends who have tried to conceive for years, and we have friends who've done IVF. We have a lot of just community that have gone through all kinds of different journeys with having a baby and conceiving a child. And it's not as easy as they tell you when you're a teenager, you know, which makes you feel like every time you have sex, you're basically pregnant already, unless you do everything you can to prevent that. Like we all know that that's just not the case. So we didn't know. So we were just kind of, well, if it happens, it happens. I, of course, had that feeling, well, if it happens, it's meant to be. And maybe it doesn't happen. And then that's okay too. You know, we didn't feel a crazy urgency that this has to happen now. But I also have been having a longing. I have been having that feeling, seeing babies, friends' babies, where all of a sudden I'm like, oh, that time, you know, it's so special. And I haven't had that feeling. And Leia's 5, she's going to be 6 in March. And it really took me a long time to get to that feeling of longing again. And of course, stability has a lot to do with that. When your life is chaotic and upside down, it's hard to have your focus there. And then pretty early, I think this was like a month or two, maybe a month in to our casual romantic life. I love that term. You guys can like imagine the details if you want. My period didn't come, and my period was late, and I started having a lot of just what felt to me like major pregnancy symptoms, different ones than just PMS and kind of, you know, premenstrual symptoms. My boobs hurt like crazy. I felt really swollen and bloated, and I had a lot of headache. I had a feeling, and I immediately started getting really, really, really excited. Told Dennis that, you know, my period's late, and my period can be a little bit irregular, but not by a lot, by a day or two. You know, it's not clockwork like some people, but it's not very irregular either. So I just had a couple of days where I started for the first time since being pregnant with Leia, where I started to visualize, well, maybe this is it. Like, what would that be like? And terrified and feeling nervous and holy shit, are we ready? You know, all the things that kind of go through your head when you think that you're pregnant. And then a couple days later, my period came, and it was a heavy, horrible period. Like a really, and I don't have horrible periods. It was just very, very, very heavy. And it broke my heart. It really did. I was so heartbroken, even though it was, you know, it wasn't like I took a pregnancy test and it was positive and then that didn't happen. It didn't even go that far. It was just the first days of maybe thinking about maybe possibly it could be, you know, I just got excited. And then I wasn't pregnant and my period came, and the level of heartbreak I felt, how sad I was. I called my friend Olivia. I was just bawling on the phone. I was so sad. And she was like, I didn't even know you guys were trying, because we hadn't told anybody. And I'm like, me neither. Like we barely started trying, and just immediately I get this sad. And she was like, well, now you know. Like now you know you really want a baby. Like you really want this to happen. Like this level of sadness, this level of emotion, like now it's really clear. Like now you know what you want. And I felt that in a way was a big blessing, because that meant that from that point on, it became very conscious for both of us that just actually, yes, like we do want a baby. It's not just casual and what happens, happens, but it became just a very present thing that yes, it was just a yes, you know, from that feeling of maybe and who knows? And could we do it? Like, there was just a lot of thoughts and fear and worry and stuff involved to a big yes, yes, yes. This is what I want. Mothers deserve the absolute best. So this Mother's Day, spoil the moms in your life with little luxuries from Osea. Osea's skin and body care is the perfect way to remind all the moms, mother figures, caregivers, grandmothers, and mother-in-laws in your life to make time for themselves. If you have been looking for the perfect gift, I recommend Osea's Andaria Algae Body Oil. I've been using it for years, and it seems like every single time I apply it, I get compliments on my skin. This body oil is rich, but it's never greasy, and it's clinically proven to instantly improve skin elasticity. Your skin will feel more sculpted and toned, and you'll be left feeling silky, soft, and glowing. Another favorite of mine is the Andaria Collagen Body Lotion. Ever since I've been using collagen, I have noticed a difference in my skin. In fact, it's never been better. Using Osea's body oil and lotion together is a mega moisture duo, giving you a full body glow. Osea's products are infused with their signature Andaria seaweed, but it's also clean, vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral certified. Really just a perfect gift for yourself, the moms in your life, and even the planet. Spoil the moms in your life with clean, vegan skin and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with the code YOGA at oseamalibu.com. You'll get free samples with every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Head to oseamalibu.com and use the code YOGA for 10% off. I think we immediately must have, after that, conceived. And it's funny. So this was, I guess, September, the fall, and very beginning of October. So my birthday is October 5th. And October 3rd, 2 days before my birthday, Olivia, so my best friend, she writes me and she says, hey, Hedda, my goddaughter, her daughter, said today, out of the blue, we weren't even talking about you. Like, we were in the bath and she just looked at me and said, Rachel also has a baby in her belly. So I just wanted to check in. Like, are you pregnant? And I was like, what? No, that's so crazy. But secretly, I was like, oh my God, that would be so lovely. But I was like, no. Like, no, like, my period isn't even late. Like, it hasn't even been a cycle, you know, since. So no, not at all. And then I'm like, wait, let me check when my period is due, because I wasn't exactly sure. So I went into my app that I use, and it said, oh, my period is due on October 5th, on my birthday. So I took a screenshot and I sent it to her. My period is due in 2 days, so I'll let you know on Wednesday, which was my birthday. I'll let you know. And we had plans for my birthday. We went to dinner and we had concert. And I just said that, like, I'll let you know in 2 days if my period doesn't show. That's it. The next day, we had a little mini pre-celebration where Dennis took me and Leia out to dinner. And in the car, driving to dinner, I got super nauseous. Just like out of the blue, overwhelmingly, almost having to pull the car over to throw up, kind of nauseous, really, really nauseous. And I am not a nauseous person. I'm not a car sick person generally. I don't have that. It was just felt out of the ordinary. So we went to town, we went to the city. Dennis and Leia snuck away a little bit because they wanted to buy me a present or some flowers, I think. And when they did that, I was just like, I'm just going to stop by the pharmacy. I didn't tell Dennis. I didn't say anything. I just like, I'm just going to stop by the pharmacy and get a pregnancy test, like, just to check. But my period wasn't even late. Like, technically on paper, I wasn't even pregnant yet. And I went to the pharmacy. They have one of those early detection tests that you can test really, really, really early. But it has to be morning pee. It has to be the first pee of the day. So I just thought to myself, well, okay, I'll just wake up on my birthday and I'll pee on a stick. That sounds great. Like, that's no problem. So we had dinner. And I remember it was also weird because we know the owners of the restaurant we went to, and they came over with a glass of champagne, like, happy birthday. And I didn't want to drink the champagne. I just had this aversion. And I normally, like, I do not turn down a glass of bubbly. Like, that's not my vibe. But I got this glass of champagne and I was like, oh, I don't want it. Like, I just didn't drink it. And then it's just like, what's wrong? I'm like, I don't know, just don't feel like it. And he was like, that's weird. Super weird. So the next day, well, and we went to bed, and then in the morning, we do this thing. Yeah, Everybody does birthday mornings a little bit different, but we do this thing where we wake the birthday person up with cake and balloons, and then we have breakfast like ready in the kitchen. We don't do the whole breakfast in bed thing. Like, I don't like to eat breakfast in bed anyway. It's too messy for me. But so they were fixing things in the morning, and Leia, like, I had promised her I would stay in bed until they were ready. But they took forever, the way, of course, like a dad and a five-year-old do in the kitchen. And I really had to pee. So I was just like, I just kind of snuck up, and then I went out into the living room and I covered my eyes. I was like, hey guys, pretend I'm not here. I just really have to pee. And I like, and Leia was like, close your eyes, mama, close your eyes. You can't see what's happening. Close your eyes. And I like went over to the bathroom where I had put the pregnancy tests, very planned that out very well the day before. And peed on the stick. And it was, you know, that anyone who's ever taken a COVID test and had COVID, that was the first thing that came to my mind for some bizarre reason. Taking those, I mean, how many of those stupid tests did we have to take last year and the year before? But when the test lights up right away and it's like, oh, you really have COVID. That was this pregnancy test. Like when I took the first test with Leia, I had to take three tests. The first one was positive, but it was barely visible. The second one was negative, and then the third one was inconclusive. So we ended up going to the clinic and took a blood test to find out, because I so badly wanted to know, like I couldn't wait. But with this test, like I peed on the stick, you're supposed to wait 2 or 3 minutes or whatever to look. I just looked at it right away and it was like, bing! Super strong, like you're super pregnant, like no doubt about it, very pregnant. And it was just the most wonderful, crazy birthday present to receive. Really, really. Because even though I really wanted it, I wasn't expecting it. I didn't think it would happen this fast. I hadn't really wrapped my head around the idea properly yet, you know. So I snuck back to bed. Eventually, Leia and Dennis came in with flowers and cake and sang. And then we had a big birthday breakfast. And I just sat there the whole time like, oh my God. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. You know, I don't even know. Holy shit, what do I, like, whoa. It was just so big, like so, so, so big. And we decided to go for a little walk. I had a massage planned, I think, that day. We went for a walk in the woods. We took all the dogs to walk in the woods and to pick mushrooms. And then after that, I had a massage. Like, that was kind of the day that we had planned. And I was thinking, like, how do I tell Dennis? When do I do it? Last time we bought the pregnancy tests together, it felt weird knowing before him, even though it's my body. So like, it makes sense that I would know a few hours early, but it really felt like, no, I want to share this now. But also not in front of Leia, right? Because we have to process this ourselves first. So we were out in the woods. I brought the pregnancy test and Leia's looking for puffballs, her favorite mushrooms. And the dogs are just running all around. We're having a super sweet time. And then I like crouch down and I'm like, oh my God, hey, look at this mushroom. Look, Dennis, come look. And he like comes over. He's like, what is it? And then I like give him the pregnancy test. And he was like, oh, wait, oh, are you serious? Oh, he just couldn't wrap his head around it. It was almost one of those moments where like, are you happy or are you panicking? Because his face was just all of those things at the same time, you know. And then, yeah, we just hugged and it took him a while to process. I also think he was probably even further from the mindset that this is going to happen now than I was. So it took him some digesting for sure. And then that night we had a babysitter for Leia because we were going out to this big dinner with our best friends and then to a concert. And we had to go through this whole thing of, well, are we going to lie to our best friends in the world and like pretend? Because, of course, I can't show up for my birthday dinner and just say, no, thank you. I don't want to have a glass of wine, because normally I love a glass of wine. Olivia knew we were sort of maybe trying. So if I would lie to her, like she would know. You know, and it felt so strange because these are our best friends, but also we needed time. And especially Dennis, he's like, I have known about this baby for 5 minutes. I need another 5 minutes before we talk about it with people. Like, we need to just like process this on our own. So we ended up going to this restaurant and it was a very crowded place, like very small tables. So Dennis, we kept switching glasses and then he would drink my wine and then I would have less in my glass kind of thing. But Patrick, like his best friend, totally knew. And he was just sitting there. He's like, why are you drinking Rachel's wine? He's like, oh, I was? Oh, I didn't. Oh, sorry. And he just looked at us like, what? You know? And then we had driven there. So normally, like, of course, whenever we go places, only one of us would drink. And obviously, I wasn't drinking, but it was weird for me to not be drinking because it was my birthday party and my celebration, you know? And then we were leaving and we were supposed to take a cab, but it felt so stupid to pay for a taxi to drive to the venue when I was sitting there sober, perfectly ready to drink. So I was like, you know, I think I didn't drink so much. I think I'm like, I can totally drive. And then Olivia looked at me. She's like, yeah, why didn't you drink so much? I'm like, no, I mean, it's just I didn't, you know, like moving on. And then my friend Michaela was like, dude, you drank 5 glasses of wine. I saw you drink so much wine. You can't drive. No way. Like, let's go over here. And it became a little bit of a conversation. But it was funny because half of our friends were completely clueless, like half of them. And then half of them, the ones that have a lot of kids, they just like immediately knew, like, of course, obviously, duh. Like, what other, why else would you have this little drama here happening with the wine? Oh, but it's so funny because we rarely do those kinds of things. Like, it's very rare for us to go and party. You know, it's like we never do those things anymore. And that was that very night. So yeah, and then from that moment, we had 2 months, I guess. Let me think. Yeah, 2 months, 2.5 months of just keeping this to ourselves, us and every stranger that Leia has seen, of course. And when we told her a couple of weeks after, I have it on video. I'm definitely going to post it on Instagram because it is the cutest thing you have ever seen. We tell her, and guess what her first response is? I tell her, Mama has a baby in her belly. And her, you know what she says? Thank you. She said, thank you. Oh my God, I could cry just thinking of that. She said, thank you. Like we had just given her a gift. Thank you. Thank you. You know, like it was a gift for her. And then she hugged me and she hugged me and she hugged me and she had tears in her eyes. Like she was welling up. She was so happy. She couldn't contain herself. And then she says, I'm so proud of you. Oh my God, I'm crying now. She's 5. We tell her she's having a little sibling and she goes, thank you. I'm so proud of you. I just love her so much. Like how is this possible? What is your favorite food? I think I can honestly say mine is bread. Now I'm craving my warm sourdough bread with some butter and salt on top. It's honestly the perfect thing to eat. But I'm also realistic, and I know for many of you out there, the carb feel might be real. It is too bad that carb-heavy foods are often the ones we love the most. That's why Hero Bread makes those same delicious favorites free of consequences or compromises. They have remade carby empty calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious versions that include no net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, plus protein and fiber. And let me tell you, their products taste amazing. The other day, Dennis and Leia and I were making some grilled cheese sandwiches, and that would be a perfect place to swap in Hero Bread. I am very mindful when it comes to what my daughter eats, and I love that this bread helps you get enough fiber and adds more protein to your diet while cutting down on the sugar. Hero Bread is not only delicious and flavorful, there's something for every craving, including sliced bread loaves, buns, and tortillas. So don't give up on being a breadhead. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use the code YOGAGIRL at checkout. That's YOGAGIRL at HERO.co. You know, the first weeks, I think from week 6, so really early, I have been very, very nauseous, not to the point of vomiting. I don't throw up. I can count on one hand in my whole life how many times I've ever thrown up. I don't throw up easily, but just kind of a constant all day nausea. My diet has been really weird. It didn't last that long. It ended at 10 weeks pretty much. So I had, I guess a month of just intense all day nausea where I had to eat all the time, every 30 minutes, almost every hour. I had to have something little. I couldn't go too long without food or I would just feel really terrible. And my diet has been so weird. For weeks, all I wanted to eat, basically all I could eat safely, was grapes and oranges. And I'm also on this like new non-vegan journey, and I'm really excited to nourish myself differently this pregnancy than I did the last pregnancy. And then I, you know, get pregnant and all I want to eat is freaking fruits. But it really, I just had to listen to my body. It really, it was a challenge. So a lot of fruits, sparkling water has been really delicious. Like I really wanted a lot of that. And just eating very little, but very, very, very often. And been tired. Yeah, the way you're tired at the beginning of a pregnancy. But pretty much, yeah, when we went to Aruba a couple of weeks ago, I started feeling a lot better. And yeah, here's also one of the things that I wanted to share, because this was an experience I didn't have with Leia, and it really freaked me out. Like it freaked me out to no end. It was the day before we were going to Aruba, some 10 weeks, I guess. And I'm in the shower. We're kind of packing and getting everything ready. I'm in the shower and I had a bleeding. Like I think you would count it maybe as spotting. It wasn't a big amount. It wasn't like a period. It wasn't like that, but just like a little bit. And when I was pregnant with Leia, that didn't happen a single time. I didn't have any of that. Although I've read that especially early pregnancy, first trimester, it's common. I did, of course, a lot of research after that happened. So 20% of women do bleed in their pregnancies. Most of that happens in the first trimester, but there are people who bleed a little bit here and there all throughout. Like it's not a totally crazy thing. But where my head went, I got frozen with fear. I was so terrified, completely terrified. And I started, you know, I didn't know, like, what if I'm beginning to miscarry now? We're supposed to be on a 17-hour trip, you know, going across the whole world tomorrow. Like, it was just very, very, very scary and overwhelming. And I couldn't stop crying. It was very, yeah, it was shit, really, is what it was. And I wish I knew. I never had talked to anybody about that, that bleeding in pregnancy actually happens. Doesn't mean that you're miscarrying. And it depends on what kind of bleeding and the color of it and how much and how it happens and all those things. But I did call this emergency kind of medical hotline that we have here in Sweden. And she completely comforted me. And she even said, like, if you would go to the emergency, because there's an emergency like gynecology place, like if you are miscarrying where you can go, she was like, they're not going to see you. Like they won't admit you because there's real people having real emergencies there. And from what you're telling me, like this is not a real emergency and it's scary and it's okay that it's scary, but you're just going to have to sit with that scary. And if nothing else happens, like everything is fine, you know. And it actually helped. Like she really talked me down from this big scary place where I was. But it made me realize when I was pregnant with Leia, I had this underlying fear all the time that something was wrong, that something bad was going to happen. Maybe I wouldn't get to keep her. But I kept that fear very squashed. I didn't talk about it with anybody. I didn't raise it. I didn't bring it up to any healthcare provider, any friends. I didn't even talk to Dennis about it. It was just this kind of quiet fear that I had. First, that I would miscarry, and then that something would be wrong, and then that something would go wrong at birth. Like I had a lot of just negative, very fearful thoughts in my head. And now this happened and I found myself back in that place. It made it very current and very real. And I decided, okay, whatever fears come up, because I very clearly have some, and I think this is most people I know go through these kinds of fears. It would probably be scary for anyone. But for me, I'm on the more freaked out end of the spectrum, because I remember I was with Leia, but I didn't process it. So I decided, well, this time I'm going to talk about that. Like I'm going to share that if I have a worried day, if something feels weird and I don't know what it is, if I have a, you know, a scared, anxious day, like I'm going to share that fear and that anxiousness with somebody so I don't sit with it alone. And nothing happened after that. It wasn't the beginning of a miscarriage. And it really made me, like, I was sitting on the bed just talking to the baby. I was just like telling the baby, like, you're so safe with me. And just telling him how badly I want him to be here with us and how excited we are. And I'm calling him a him, but of course we don't know. But how excited we are that he's almost here and we've been longing for him and waiting for him. And to just like, please stay with me, stay with me, stay with me. And that moment was really the initiation of me talking to the baby like a baby, because I hadn't done that up until that point. It's been so early, it didn't feel super real yet. I think with Leia also, before I felt the first kicks, before the first ultrasound, because with Leia I had ultrasounds, it didn't feel like, I didn't know, is there a baby in there? Like, there's things happening in my body, but I can't see this baby, I can't feel this baby. You just have to trust that that's happening. And for me, when I saw her on the ultrasound and then when I could feel her kicking, that's when I started forming that relationship. But now that sort of started happening earlier thanks to that, because now I'm in this conversation with this baby where I'm talking to him all the time and all day and comforting him and comforting myself. And also Leia talks to the, she wakes up in the morning and she dives under the covers and she says good morning to the baby in the belly. Like every day she's just talking to him all throughout and telling him stories and asking how he's doing. And it's really, really special. So yeah, although nothing else happened after that, I really felt like it was a big moment in this pregnancy so far, because it made me decide to not keep any of the scary stuff to myself. And to really communicate with this little one. Like, this is a little soul, a little spirit that's here, that chose to be here, that we chose to bring into this world together. That's really so special. It's the most special thing. And I'm so happy to be pregnant. I could cry right now. I am so, so, so happy to be pregnant. When we landed in Aruba, I decided I wanted to get an ultrasound because I really wanted to know that everything was okay and that that bleeding wasn't the beginning of something bad. Although I had decided, and we'll talk about this, I'm sure, over the coming months, that I wanted I wanted a wild pregnancy. That's an actual term. I just want a pregnancy that isn't treated like it's a medical disease, which is how I felt a lot in my pregnancy with Leia, in my first pregnancy, that I don't want to do the doctor's visits. I don't want to be shuffled from place to place to have my blood drawn and for people to tell me what I should do with my life and how this baby should be born. I had to fight a lot of stuff and stigma in the first pregnancy to get my way. And I had to listen to people telling me I was crazy and endangering my child because I wanted to birth at home. And I really feel so strongly this time, I don't want to go through that, actually. And there's no big medical reason for me to, like, I'm a healthy person. I never had anything odd or anything happen to my body, nothing that gives me a reason that I would have to have medical care throughout this pregnancy. So I decided really early on, I don't want that. It's just going to be me being pregnant and then giving birth the way I want to give birth. But then I had that bleeding and I felt really, oh, I want to have an ultrasound. I want to see that this baby is moving and I want to have that recognition that everything is okay. So getting to Aruba, it's so beautiful. You can choose the care that you want. You don't have to do every single thing that the system tells you to do just because they tell you to do it, right? But you can choose. So we did in Aruba, and it was such a sweet moment. It was the sweetest woman. If I would give birth in Aruba, I would choose her as for sure to journey with. She was very sweet and also made me feel so safe. And I really trusted her. She let Leia come up on the table, like on the exam table, and lie there with me for the ultrasound as if we were lying there watching TV or something. And she was just lying there like in my arms looking at the baby, and he was doing somersaults, like he was flipping around. he didn't want to turn, like she wanted him to turn a certain direction, I guess to measure the baby and everything that they do in that first time. But he didn't want to. It was really obvious, like he didn't want to. He has a very particular energy, this little one. Very active, very, but also like feels shy. I remember Leia's energy in the belly was very extroverted, loud, like very just out there. Like she had a huge personality, like the way she is now. Like I could feel that personality, that energy of her in the belly. But this baby has a different feeling, like a quieter, more introverted. Yeah, like doesn't want to. Yeah, like didn't want to shine, you know, for the cameras for that first time, like at all. It was more kind of like, no, you know what? Leave me alone here. Let me do my thing. So I want to just trusting in that instinct for now. And as this pregnancy progresses, so the due date, there's no such thing as a due date, right? But general time is like mid-June. This might be a Gemini. Yeah, it doesn't really go with that introverted, quiet vibe that I'm getting. But if he would choose to stay and bake as long as Leia chose to stay, then he would be a Cancer. Like I'm definitely getting more Cancer vibes than I am getting Gemini vibes, but that might change. Who knows? But just as this pregnancy progresses, I'm going to completely trust my intuition and choose whether or not I want any kind of support outside of myself and outside of our family. So if I have that big urge to go have an ultrasound, I might have another one. I don't think I will have another one. I know I don't want any of the tests and, you know, crazy things that they make you go through. I know I don't want that. I know I don't want to be in the system. I don't want to be coerced to have to go to the hospital and to be induced. Like, it's just not the journey I want for myself. And I also want to share, like, I know I learned this from last time, but pregnancy and childbirth is such a controversial subject, which of course it shouldn't be. It's the most natural thing in the world. It's how we were all brought into this world. But when I am talking about this pregnancy and how I want to do things, I'm just talking about what I want. And if that triggers anyone, it's kind of how I share the vegan, I'm not vegan anymore story. Like if this triggers anybody, process your own emotions before throwing them out into the world. I had that with Leia. Whenever I told people I want to do a home birth, I had people get angry with me. People were upset. People were triggered. You know, so you're saying that I'm not good enough if I birth in a hospital? No, like I'm not saying anything about anybody's choices. I just am sharing what I want. And I'm going to continue doing that throughout this whole journey. So this podcast, it's never going to turn into a pregnancy podcast, but as this is from the heart, I'm going to be always sharing from the heart what's going on. So you can definitely expect a little bit more motherhood and of course baby and pregnancy stories coming out of me because that's the journey I'm on now. And I'm really happy I get to share this with you and that you're journeying with me. I feel very held, very supported. We had 7,000 comments of joy and love and excitement on Instagram when I announced that we're having a second baby. 7,000 comments. That is totally wild. I really was sitting there just, I feel so loved and so held and so supported by this amazing community. And I love how everyone is so excited for us. It really is a thing of light and so much joy in the middle of this really strange time. So yeah, we're moving to a farm. Maybe we're going to have animals. We've taken on this crazy project. I'm going to tell you all about it. Don't worry. Lots of stuff happening at the same time. We got the keys today. So I'm going to tell you all about it. But definitely it's going to be a really, really interesting December. And I have a feeling 2023 is going to be a really good year. I hope you feel the same. Next week on the show is Ask Rachel. So if you have any questions for me, of course, they can be pregnancy and baby related, but any question under the moon that you want to ask is beautiful. All you do is you call and you leave a message at +1 720-443-1771. If you're in the US, you skip the plus one. It's just 720-443-1771. You share your name, maybe where you're from, and whatever question is on your mind. Try to keep it under 1 minute so we can fit it into the show. Until then, my darlings, I love you so much. I hope you have a beautiful week. Thank you for feeling so much joy and excitement with you. I really, really feel it. I'll be back next week. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. If you enjoyed the show, make sure you listen, rate, review, and follow all episodes of the Yoga Girl podcast, Conversations from the Heart. This was a presentation of Cadence 13 Studio, and I'll see you next week.